making their way in. Just have two things to address tonight before I turn it over to Greg, but just wanted to note something I'm sure all of you know, that we only have two more lessons after tonight in the book of Job, and I just hope you're approaching the end of this study with a lot of anticipation and excitement. Elihu, who's been speaking for six chapters here, really is setting the stage and kind of beginning to turn the tone of this whole dialogue and turn it more towards God and God's attributes and God's character. And God's getting ready to speak starting this week when we open God's word this week. We're going to hear what God has to say about all this. And I'm just excited about that. I hope you guys are too. And sometimes when you get to the end of something, sometimes some folks will kind of want to wane. I know that's probably not much in the DNA of any of you guys being in a Bible study like this, but we're on the precipice of hearing, God speak. All of this is God's word. But we're just at a very exciting point in the book of Job, and I just wanted to share my excitement about that, and hopefully, continue to keep yours up with that. So we're at a real special point in this book here. So as we wrap up Job, two more lessons in Job, and then on the 27th of February, we're going to have a fellowship time together, just in our huddle groups with no lesson on the 27th, but we're going to come in here at 8 o'clock, and then Waylon is going to do a short introduction to the book of Philippians, and we're going to conclude our studies. You guys know it's in your books with the book of Philippians, just a four-week study, really short study to walk through Philippians, exact same format as how we do every Monday night in here, no matter what book of the Bible we're studying, but just 4 weeks. So, but one of the points that I want to make about Philippians and it being a short study is that it's probably just a wonderful opportunity to consider bringing somebody else with you or checking out this Bible study. It's just a four-week commitment, four lessons. So I just want to ask you to maybe before the Lord say, okay, God, is there anybody that you would have me invite to come check out this Bible study? Is there somebody at your church? Is there somebody in your small group? Is there a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a golfing buddy? Just anyone. Ask God, who would you have me maybe to say, hey, why don't you come check out Bible study? Because we know what a wonderful treasure God's word is, what an incredible blessing it is to spend time in God's word every day. And this lesson just gives one of the best formats and best vehicles that I've ever seen to be able to do that, these Bible study lessons that we do. So please think about who God might have you invite for our Philippians study, which will start with an intro on February 27th. Thanks. Greg?
All right. Good evening. If you'll take your hymnals, trying to think through the lesson this week and just by God's majesty and everything else. The first one that came to mind was How Great Thou Art, page 4. If y'all want to find that and stand with me. How Great Thou Art, page 4. Page 4. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds.
birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. My Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. I'm looking forward to the shouts of acclamation. I don't know about y'all. Number 10, in your hymnal, Oh Worship the King. And let's sing just what they've got, the little arrows by 1, 2, and 4. Isn't that the old Baptist way? Is that right? Okay. I'm still learning.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and guarded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, who canopies face. His chariots of wrath, the thunder clouds fall, the dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Frail children of dust, the feeble as frail, we do trust, nor find thee to fail.
Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. O Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this ability to come into your house, Father, and worship you. Lord, through song, through study, as we prepared all week. Lord, I looked waiting up to you this evening. Lord, just pray that you will use him in a mighty way, as you've been doing Monday in and Monday out. And so thankful for his faithfulness, Lord, to serve us. And Lord, just know that he's doing it for you, not for him. Saints, we pray in your son's name. Amen.
Good evening. Did everybody get a handout? Derek, does anybody need a handout? Yeah, we got some hands there. Here's some more. Derek, anybody else? You know, as Kenny was saying, it is getting to be an exciting time as we end up toward the end of Job. And I thought about, you know, especially with this week when we had chapter 36 and 37 and just the fact of the majesty and the goodness of God. And then we sing that song, you know, How Great Thou Art. And I thought about, did your soul sing this week when you were studying it? Mine did. Matter of fact, it sang a lot today. I had a great day today just trying to put this together. But just, you know, just knowing that God was with me, just how great he is and the fact that he is with me in times of suffering and in times of good. And so I'm like Kenny, I'm excited about, you know, finishing up this study, but mostly I'm excited because it is TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. I don't know about, I get excited on Monday now because it's a time that God has told me to set aside for him, to try and get ready tonight. And when you're kind of like me, it takes a while to get ready. But I got where I just love Mondays. I used to get a little frustrated with them, but it's just such a special time for me now. So I thank you for those prayers that you pray for me to have an opportunity to come up here and share. And it is just a wonderful time to get together on Monday night. As we look at the lesson today, Elihu, we talked about last week being the new kid in town. He finishes his discourse. He finishes his speech up to Job and the rest of those who are listening. And Elihu, he finishes really strong with this discourse. He really finishes strong. He finishes proclaiming God's goodness, God's majesty, God's perfect justice, God's perfect knowledge over all things, heaven and earth. I mean, he just kind of lays it on the line when we read 36 of who God is. And in Elihu, in chapters 36 and 37, he made a kind of a comment that was both the same, or in God's word, he says, God, the one who is of perfect knowledge, is with you. He was telling these guys, he was talking to Job and his friends, that God is with you. He is there with you, and he is there, the one who brings all knowledge, the perfect knowledge, in every leg of life's journey that you go through. He wanted them to know that. He wanted to make the point, Elihu wanted to make the point, that God is so great in his perfect knowledge that his ways and his thoughts are really just beyond our understanding. You know, you guys can't really, you can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend who God is. And I thought about, you know, when he was doing that, I went back and thought about chapter 11. Remember when we did chapter 11 of, not Job, but Romans. Who did the Romans study in here? Raise your hand. Go ahead. You can hold them up. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to ask you a question. I just want to know if you did Romans. But remember we did Romans study chapter 11? I will ask, does anybody remember what chapter 11 is about in Romans? Woo-wee! It's a tough one. I had a kidney stone during that time. I'm kind of thankful I did. As bad as that kidney stone was, I think Kenny Getz had to step in for that one. Woo, I said, thank you, Lord. Because chapter 11 is about Israel's rejection by God. and the grafting in of the Gentiles. It's a lot going on there in chapter 11. I mean, it is a deep chapter. But listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. And remember where we're going with this, about God's perfect knowledge and what he knows and who he is and what he stands. Listen, what Paul says, verse 33 of chapter 11 in Romans. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I can't understand why God would, his chosen people, put the mystery of a blinders on their eyes that they not see that the Gentiles could be grafted in. Explain that to me. Kenny did a great job that day, but you know, just things like that. Paul says, you can't imagine how God thinks and his ways and what he does. And I also wanted to look at Isaiah and what Isaiah says about the perfect knowledge of God. Isaiah chapter 40, listen to this. Chapter 40, verse 12, Isaiah says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? In other words, if you took God's hand and measured the waters in, that's what Isaiah is saying. Measured heaven with its span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? The fact is, no one, the God of perfect knowledge, knows everything. And that's what Elihu finished with these guys, Job and the rest of them. He finished strong with the fact of who God was. We know in our study so far, like Kenny says, we're almost there. It's going to get really good these next couple of weeks. But we know that Job was chosen for this race by the Lord of perfect knowledge. We know that. And there's only, like I say, these four chapters left. I kind of want us to stop and think about where we've come so far in this study. Stop and look at the race that Job has run so far. And when you run a race, a lot of times it's divided into legs. So I want us to take this race that Job has run and kind of divide it into four legs of the race. The first leg of the race, how did Job run that race? The first leg of the race, remember, divide, and I will kind of lay some, we hadn't really got to the fourth leg yet. The fourth leg starts next week, okay? I'll kind of give you that part of a race. The first part of the race, though, the first leg of the race, how did Job run it? Excuse me? Fast. So you would say in that, John, you would say that he really started strong. It's kind of like my son, Neil, when he was in the, sixth grade. Sixth grade, he went out for the track team. You know, he wanted to be on some kind of team, so he went out for the track team. They said, well, what do you do? Well, we need somebody to run the mile. Neil said, okay, I'll run the mile. So me and wife were out there, proud parents, you know, watching Neil run down here at Eastway. They shoot the gun off. Neil takes off like a jackrabbit. He's seems like half the track ahead of everybody. He started out fast. But come the end of that mile, it was a solo effort. So anyway, he did start out strong. He trained well. He was prepared. Matter of fact, Job was the race favorite. Am I right or wrong? Was Job not the race favorite? Exactly. Exactly right. There is no one else like him on the earth. Job was the race favorite, and he started out strong. Okay, second leg of the race. Talk to me. He lost everything. Okay, yeah. Now remember, keep it in a race concept. Job hit some heels, didn't he? He hit some heels. He encountered some headwinds. You know, he's running hard. He's running fast like John. And all of a sudden, these heels and these headwinds get in the way. Matter of fact, he even gets a few blisters. Now when you run in the race and you get some blisters, I don't know. I hadn't run a lot of races, but that ain't fun. I know I played a lot of basketball. When you get a blister, that ain't no fun running down the court. So he starts to get some blisters. Yet his faith and his desire and his focus, it tells him, hey, I deserve to be in this race. I deserve to be in this race. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to press on toward the goal that is at the end of this race. Remember how Job said, what he said about he knew who waited for him? The obstacle's there, but the second leg of the race, he still got. Okay, we're in the third leg of the race. The third leg of the race with Job. How's he doing? Not too good. Okay. Well, I tell you what. I love that answer. Not too. That's really generic. Kind of give me a smile. What's not too good? He's suffering. The race favorite. Don't miss that. Job was the race favorite, right or wrong. But he's suffering. The race favorite is suffering. He's in a grind. The race has really become a grind. The pain is overwhelming this brother. You know why? No one's cheering for him. We kind of got that, didn't we, Libby? Not a soul is cheering for Job. He got a lot of cheers against him, but nobody's cheering for Job. So the race is really a grind. You know, they're even telling him, you didn't prepare like you should have, brother. You weren't prepared like you should have. Oh, they're laying it on there, you know. Not a lot of, yeah, you can do it. No. Nothing new. This third part of the stage of the race is really working on Job. And so the race favorite, you know, what does he do? What does the race favorite do? He begins to complain about the race, doesn't he? Matter of fact, this race favorite says, I don't know who the organizer of this race is, but he's got issues. I got issues with him. Are you with me? That's exactly what he does. The third part of his race, he starts to take up issues with the race organizer. Have you ever done that? Just asking. You don't have to answer that. You don't have to ask him about your race. But anyway, fourth leg of the race, we ain't there yet. But we get there next week. And we get to see how Job finishes. Matter of fact, Job's going to have a little encounter with the race organizer. This is going to get good. It's going to get good next week. The race organizer is going to have a little talk with one of his race favorites. So I look forward to that. I'm excited about that. I am really excited about that. So you know what Job's race has been like. But before Job's final leg, we get to see what Elihu says to Job and the others and what he tries to get this new kid in town. I love this new kid in town. He's brought some good stuff to the forefront of this issue between Job and his friends and everyone else is listening. So when we look at Elihu and what he proclaims, tonight's, outline, he proclaims God's goodness and God's majesty. That's what we hear Elihu proclaiming. And the quote here, you may see this quote again if you do your study, but I love this quote. I thought it applied. Suffering. And when I go through this, if you got a pen, you might want to underline might. Suffering. Its aim is that our faith might be refined. Our holiness might be enlarged. Our soul might be saved. And our God might be glorified. John Piper. Elihu really, he tries to get the point across in chapters 36 and 37 that God, the one who is of perfect knowledge, remember he told them, he said, I'm bringing something to you from the one who is of perfect knowledge. His voice roars in the midst of any storm. Any storm, his voice roars. That's what Elihu wants them to understand. And be it a storm because of your sin or my sin, or be it a storm because there is not sin that's bringing the storm, he wanted them to understand that the Creator, the one of perfect knowledge, is in complete control of the race that they're in. He wanted them to get. So he's proclaiming God's majesty. Here's the whole kind of nutshell of 36 and 37, really, and of everything Elihu has talked about. You know, what might we learn when our race turns into a storm? Will we learn from it how to be bitter? Or will we learn from it how to be better? Two little simple words there. Bitter or better? What's the storm going to teach us? You know, that's what God, when we go back and look at that quote, what really John Piper's speaking of there. And so, what will we proclaim? The universe proclaims His majesty. Elihu lays that out for us. Here's the issue tonight. I was so looking forward to big huddle time. So this is what this is right now. This is big huddle time. You went to your little huddles, and I know how special they are. That's a good time. But now we're going to have big huddle, a chance for maybe somebody in another huddle to say something that this other huddle didn't get a chance to hear. This is proclaim your time. This is your time to tell me what 36 and 37 said to you this week when you were studying. Or what so far, you know, Elihu and the things he's talked about, proclaiming God, what has it said to you? This is it. I'm getting ready to get quiet. And I know you said, well, no way he's going to get quiet. Talk to me. Yeah.
God is all powerful and in control of everything.
Ooh. That makes your soul sing, doesn't it? That makes your soul sing. All powerful and in control of everything. That's what Elihu wanted these guys to understand. You know, they thought they had it figured out. This is the reason this happening. You know, they wanted to put a finger on it. But God's in control of all things. And you know what? You can say that, but that's a lot more to wrap your my mind around than I want to think about. You know, really, I mean, that's just amazing to me. All the, you know, Elihu spoke of that, using the term of the mist to the rain to God sending it back to the earth. You know, just God's in control of everything. Thank you for sharing that. Who else? That's what I want. It don't have to be in depth. It doesn't have to be deep. Just how has God spoke to you in His Word?
Unsearchable.
Unsearchable. And you know what? We love to search, don't we? Let me Google that. Am I right or wrong? Talk to me. Talk to me one time right now. Do we not like to search? Google it. We was in Sunday school the other day. They asked a question. I said, I don't know the answer. Google it. And the next thing I know, somebody Googled it and said, well, it says. You know.
That's Ben's favorite thing.
God is unsearchable. Peggy, that is great. That is great. Because you know what? God doesn't want us to try to figure Him out. It tells us right there, what did Paul say? We can't know all the things about God. As much as we want to Google, as much as Job and his friends wanted to figure it out. I love that. Thank you, Peggy. What else? That's what I'm looking for right there. Some of you sitting there and say, I ain't never thought about it. Unsearchable. Share. Talk to me. I'm still talking too much.
Nobody knows
how old God is. Whew, don't you girls like that one? Don't you girls like that? I mean, guys do too. I have to admit, guys do too. You know, now we got just enough gray or whatever you call it, you know. So, you know, we don't normally know how old we are. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, has no beginning, has no end. How good is that? How good is that? Thank you, Mary. That's good. Talk to me. Yeah, Kenny. I never thought about that.
Greg Fischel, I think.
Hey, ho. Mary. God does. God does.
I love that.
You know, Charles Rushton, I'm going to get him to speak up in a minute. I'm going to give him a chance. I'm being nice to him. I'm going to pull on him in a minute. Was it Charles? Come on, Charles. But anyway, no, what I was going to share about Charles is he showed me a picture the other day. He set up, and that's what Charles does. He's a photographer. But he set up a picture that had the clouds moving. And all of a sudden, it was right before sunset. Is that right, Charles? And the sun popped through those clouds. But just to watch those clouds move, and I couldn't understand that. And God's hand is all about that. Anyway, thanks, Kenny, for sharing that. Talk to me about this God who's unsearchable, this God who has no age, this God who's perfect in knowledge. What has this God said to you? How has this God affected you in Job, in Elihu 36 or 37? I mean, I tell you today, you know, I'm just going to be transparent with you. I cried about 8 times today, right there in my sunroom, and I loved every minute of it. I loved every minute of it because I just felt God's closeness today as I was studying this, as I read 36 and 37. It was so good. It was so good. My soul was singing. I could have been so many other places and crying in a different way, but my soul was singing because I related to what God's word said and who he was and what he is and a little bit I do know about him and the fact that the maker of the universe loves me. And it's changed my life. I said, I'm going to talk too much. Shut up, Waylon. Talk to me. Excuse me, Clayton. God's not impressed. He does oppress. Okay. Well, you're right. And he's probably not impressed either. But he's not oppressed. That's right. And the thing I like about that, Clayton, is something they said in here. Chapter 36, verse 5, behold, God is mighty, listen to this, but despises no one. I say hallelujah to that dude because you know, he has plenty of reason to despise this one. Despises no one. Thank you, Clayton. He does not oppress. Talk to me. That's good. Do what, Karen?
As great as he is, he sees me.
You bringing some Hagar there, ain't you? Isn't that what Hagar said? The God who sees me. Remember, she's out in the desert and she's crying, and all of a sudden she realizes God sees her. Says, "I'm taking care of you." You know, I know Abraham kicked you out. Thank you. That is great. That is great. Talk to me. How's God touched you with? It didn't necessarily have to be, but 36 and 37. It's good stuff. God is sovereign. He sees and loves. You know, I remember Daniel saying the other week when we were talking, I forgot the question I asked, but I think it was the difference between Elihu and the three friends. And I think, Daniel, you said sin over sovereignty. You know, Elihu really is speaking of the sovereignty of God and his power and who he is over all things. And those three friends, it was all about sin. What have you done, Job? You've done something, you sin. You know, how true that is, that a sovereign God, you know, puts our sins away as far as the east is to the west. Don't you just love that in God's word where it says as far as the east from the west? Because there is no place that the east and west come together. North and south, you can meet. There's a north pole, there's a south pole. You can't find where east and west comes together. Yet God's word says, I forget your sins as far as the east is from the west. I put them away. That's good stuff. Talk to me. I'm still talking too much. Hallelujah. We should have got a whole sanctuary of amens on that, Paul. That he has taken us from the pit. Thank you, Paul. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's, you know, what is it saying to you? We're all going to be different. We're unique. We have different things. That's what, remember, we're big huddling now. Atlanta and New England on the same team tonight. It's not going to be any overtime. There's not going to be any unhappy campers tonight. We're all on the same team right here. We put the team together tonight. Steve, do what? Oh, right. That's right. 0-0 in the eyes of God. They were winners. Isn't it funny? God doesn't want any losers. You ever thought about that? My desire is that what? None should perish. A perfect knowledge of God desires that none should perish. Mm. Okay. What else? Mm. And that's what it is. We spoke about that earlier, that it is about God's glory. It is about His name. It's not about Waylon's name. It's not about Big B's name. It's about His name. You know, it's about how is God going to be glorified. I love that. That's really in the quote there. Our God might be glorified. That's the end results. That's the end results of what He desires and the whole process of what His plan is to work out. Who else?
I think along those same lines, He uses that our suffering to help us and to glorify Him.
Mm. He uses it to draw us closer to Him. You know, when we start to drift away, God doesn't want that. If you've ever had a child drift away, you know how painful that is. Or anybody, if you've had anybody drift away, you know how painful that is. And like I say, God, a lot of times it's the suffering that He seeks to draw us back. Not say, well, I'm going to punish you because you did drift away. No, He wants that intimacy back with us to draw us back. Thank you, Deborah. What else? Huddle time. This is a big huddle time. Focus on the majesty of God. And you know what? I love, David, that's what Elihu has done in these last two chapters, 36 and 37. He's focused on the goodness, the majesty, and the perfect knowledge of a holy God. That's what he's trying to show these guys, or let these guys hear. You know, listen. Remember what he said. Remember what Elihu said? I'm not trying to flatter anybody. You know, if I do, may my maker take me out. You know, it ain't about, well, I'm trying to get close to old Gale over here. I'm going to get on his side. You know, that wasn't what it was about. Daniel.
So I'm on the same line. So the friends argue it's all about you. You did it. Job comes back and says, it's all about me. Why is this happening to me? And then Elihu comes in and says, you don't understand God's ways anyway. It's beyond your understanding. It doesn't matter why. Stop thinking about you and think about him.
Amen. Amen. It is so easy for us to focus on ourselves. You know, it's got to be about me, isn't it? It's about God. Stand, remember, it speaks in here where it says, stand still and listen. Stand still and listen. See what God's got to say in the midst of the turmoil. Even in the midst of the joy. You know, that last song we sang, it was speaking of what he had heard, walking through the forest in the woods. And I could not hear every one of in that verse right there that we read. I thought about the other week when Laura was and I were in the mountains. I could picture every part of that and just God's hand and what he would let me see and let me hear. You know, that's his goodness. What else? Wow, time is slipping away. This is so good. I might be here till midnight. Okay. One or two more and then we'll end it. This is it. This is huddle time night.
Wisdom and understanding. How God teaches us through suffering.
His wisdom and understanding. And teaches us in suffering. Anybody else? Thank you, John. Kenny?
Perfect in knowledge is just
has made no error in any way, shape,
or form. I love it, what you say there, Kenny, because I think about Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his creation. Or you could take that word to say workmanship or masterpiece. That's who we are. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Those good works that we bring glory. In the midst of suffering, we can bring glory to God with the good works that we would do. So, thank you, Kim. Anybody else? I tell you what I'm going to do. I am so, that just blessed me that you would share that, share your stories with me tonight, share this huddle time with me, because that's what Elihu was talking about here, God's majesty, God's goodness. And I want to close with a song I'm going to play back here. It is God of Wonders, Beyond This Galaxy. It really speaks to what Elihu was talking about. Matter of fact, at the bottom there, hallelujah to the Lord of heaven. It should be of heaven and earth, not or heaven and earth. So if you want to, that's a typo there, of heaven and earth. You ones who sing a lot probably recognize that right away and say, well, what did he put down there? But anyway, that's what it's supposed to do. This time right here, really a time for you just to get quiet with the Lord. Listen to the words of this song. You probably know some of the words. Some of you know the words already. And so I just ask you to just, whatever way you want to bow your head, get quiet, get at a peace, get a calm with God. Listen to this song. This song is about 4 minutes and 32 seconds, so I can tell you how long you're going to kind of be in a quiet time with God. But when this song ends, I'm going to let it go into another song and listen to the words of that song. It won't be, I'm only going to play just a little part of that, but listen to the words. The biggest thing about this song is really just listening to the words. I hope the CD works and does fine. And we tested it as far as the volume. So I had some check marks about the volume being right. So if you think it's too loud or you think it's not loud enough, you know, I'll tell you who you can take it up with afterwards.
If it's too loud, do this.
If it's too loud, do this. I'm not gonna be looking at any of you. All right, let's see. It's going to get loud. Just enjoy it.
to live our lives for you and you alone.
May your wonders never cease. May the perfect knowledge never leave us. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth, to the God who is unsearchable, to the one who brought perfect knowledge to all things, to the one who sent his Son to walk among us here on this earth. He pitched a tent with us. He dwelled with us. He ate with us. The Son of God, the one who also brought perfect knowledge. And Lord, you poured out your wrath on your very own perfect Son, that we may know you, that our souls could say, how great thou art, O Father, as we continue to study your word, Father. May we hear you speak as we finish up this great blessing of a book, Job, Father. And Father, may it make us better when we suffer, not bitter. To you be the glory. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.